The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Showtime.
The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
So it's not a cleanliness thing?
Yeah, it is.
You're the only one eating it. What the hell does it matter? They're your germs.
So 3 dates and she still won't let me play with the toys.
That's interesting. You know, someone mentioned to me you were not very happy with your toys growing up.
Yeah, that was me.
Right.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I really don't understand the rubber gloves on. Like, if he was cooking for us and he did it, I'd applaud. I'd be like, hey, you know, I get it. I don't care, but that's nice.
Oh, Elaine Bennis! Well, this is quite a thrill. Yes, come.
Sit down.
Well, I'll tell you, this Seidler guy is really chapping my hide.
Excuse me. Yeah, we're talking this way.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
All I'm saying is you look a million times cooler when you've got the black gloves on and you're chopping up onions.
You're in your house by yourself.
Oh, you guys never heard of look good, play good?
What, do you got the Merv Griffin stat?
Well, it happened again.
What happened?
I'll ask the questions. What happened?
I just stomped some pigeons in the park. They didn't move.
All right, let's change the subject. You and Jerry dated for a while. Tell us, what was that like?
He's wrong, Carl.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Now live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at Radio City with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
She wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it. We all about it. They make the plans. We sit and count. Our chairs stack it just like a mountain. You heard about it. She running.
Gonna be real honest with you guys. Gonna be on the struggle bus today.
Sleepy?
So tired.
How is that any different?
So, you stop it right now. Shut up. You stop it right now. That's just mean.
Where were you?
I am so tired.
7:30 Central Time last night. Because I was in bed.
7:30 Central Time. I believe I was about to land in Denver, Colorado.
That's a shame.
It is a shame. And also, and I'm going to get to this. Eating my Smashburger, you know, just haven't eaten anything all day. By the way, interviews yesterday, I was in L.A., went from 9:30 until 2:30, straight through. Boom, 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 boom. Talked to a guy for 2 hours, ended up talking to Chip Kelly at around 2 o'clock. Raced to the airport for a 4:30 flight to Denver, Denver to Milwaukee, landed at Mitchell last night at 12:15. General Mitchell surprisingly busy at 15 after midnight last night, guys. Holy moly. But there was a guy across from me while I'm eating my burger. Shoes off. Shoes off.
On the plane?
Airport.
I mean, either way.
On the plane or in the airport?
At the airport. I am sitting there the airport at my gate eating my burger, and the guy directly across from me is wiggling his little Aaron Rodgers at me. That's what we're calling him now.
That could be any number of things the way you phrased that, just FYI.
But everyone knows it's feet.
Not necessarily. What's a smash burger? I want one.
It's more or less what Culver's burger is.
What?
So the way that they make it is you have it, but when you have the griddle really hot, you have the ground beef on there, and then you've got something to smash and flatten it.
Like onions or... Yeah. Okay, you use the spatula, but you got like onions in there to give it flavor, and
you kind of flatten it out a little bit.
So when you order it, you say, give me a smash burger?
Well, this place literally was called Smash Burger.
Never heard of it.
What?
I gotta get out more.
Well, that is...
Nah.
Chewy was right? Holy...
Chewy was right? Holy...
I mean, people
Chewy
know
was right.
What a smash burger is? I've never heard that.
I know what a smash burger is. Jen knows what a smash burger is.
The name of the place is Smash Burger?
Mm-hmm. Yes, Gabe, I know.
Okay.
They don't have them in Waukesha.
Yes, they do. I've been to them.
There. So I am running, guys, on about 4 hours of sleep. And I thought that when that alarm goes off tomorrow morning, I'm going to be fine. I'm prepared for it, right? This isn't one of those things where, like, you're expecting a full night of sleep and you only get two or three. So I'm running on 4 hours of sleep. What is the least amount of sleep you could go on regularly? Because Ashton's over there telling us that he, 4 hours night?
4 or 5 is usually when I'm
averaging. Every night? Yeah. That's not sustainable, big guy.
I'm all right.
I mean,
are you?
He's here every day.
He is here before me, too.
Yeah.
Roll. 4 hours, that would probably be enough for me. But I need 8 hours to do it, though. What?
If you only need 4 hours to function,
yes.
Why were you in bed at 7:30 last night?
Because
that means,
I don't sleep from 7:30
till 5 a.m. You woke up at 11:30 last night.
No, this is in Homer. Can attest. You go to bed at 7:30.
Old people unite.
Yes.
Oh,
you
yeah,
fall
you
asleep at about 8:30. You sleep till 10. You take a leak. Then you fall back to sleep around 11. Get up at 12:30. Take another leak. Stare at the clock. So that's about 4 when you add it up.
4.
Right?
But I need 8 to do it.
You do. You need 8 to do it.
No, 4 hours is not sustainable. I think people are supposed to have at least 7 hours of sleep at night. Your body has to heal. Your body needs that recovery time. This explains so much.
There's...
You getting 4 hours of sleep is definitely a big reason why this show is so good.
Off the rails. Well, I got 6 last night, so I'm not promising anything.
There's definitely a part of the culture that, like, brags about how much sleep they don't get, right? Like, oh, I was working out at 3 a.m. and now I'm doing this and this. I only need 4 hours sleep. No, sleep is important,
Well,
people.
Yeah, but they're called college kids. Like, remember when you were in college and it was, like, cool to pull an all-nighter?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
no,
you didn't even need to. You were just like, I think I'll try it.
No, there's like, again, there's like CEOs running companies that like brag about how much, no, you don't need to sleep. I'm working instead of sleeping. What do you mean? I could be making money during that time. Like, no, you need sleep in order for your brain to be actually operational so you can make, you know, these big decisions that you have to make.
I've also heard that there are people, highly efficient people, highly successful people who believe in the circadian rhythm. Now, that is not a birth control method, folks, so don't try that at home. The circadian rhythm is believing that, like, you should be awake in the middle of the night or something like that. Like, that you shouldn't sleep throughout the entire evening. You should wake up at, like, 4 a.m., and that's when you're most efficient. Which I will say, Captain Pee-Pee over here, who's waking up twice in the middle of the night, might want to think about that.
I got to chuckle, the rhythm, yeah. That's why there's so many got past the goalies back in the day.
Yeah.
I took my temperature.
It's how the Catholic Church just kept building.
I mean, everyone had. Did you have one get past? Not you, but your. Did one get past the goalie with your siblings? I think I had 2.
What
do you
are
know
we
what
talking
that means?
You
about?
Think you're 1 minute that I've had that conversation?
11 years, I have a brother 11 years younger than me. When my parents says, yeah, let's have another. Right?
You think
you make a good point. You make a very good point.
You think the circadian rhythm thing let him down?
I think some cicada did.
Some bug. What is the least amount of sleep you can actually function on? We're not talking about like zombie walking through your day. We're talking about you have to be highly functioning, carrying on conversations, getting bleep done. Because I don't think 4 hours is it for me, guys. I think, look, I got mon caffeine right now. I've been drinking my Celsius. Big fan of the Celsius. I think in about 1 hour, I'm going to crash.
It's different when you're shined up,
though.
That's good for me. Right?
Is that any different than any other day, to use your line from earlier in the show?
It's a little different when you're shined up, though. You really don't need to sleep.
Really?
Pardon?
Well, there was a group. We'd come down here on a Thursday because they had Friends on at one of the bars down there, right?
Friends the show?
Yeah.
You'd
but
come
this is
to
back
Milwaukee
in the 90s.
To watch Friends?
On paper.
So
we get in the car.
No. That was your excuse? Hey, we're going to go down to Milwaukee and watch Friends?
Jen, this is someone that used to time up Mardi Gras with a football camp and it just didn't mesh. When I would say, hey, Brett's having a football camp in February. We got to go down. Just happened to be when Mardi Gras was going on. No, but
right,
back
right.
in the day, we would drive down here on a Thursday, watch Friends, get in the car probably about 2:30, have our Cato drive us back,
And the big decision is, should we just go right to the stadium and sleep, or should we go home?
What time did you have to be at the stadium?
8 o'clock.
Ooh, that's a good one, because I definitely thought about getting dropped off here last night at 1 o'clock.
So, practice on an hour and a half sleep. That's tough.
Doesn't seem ideal. Especially for Mr. My Body is a Temple over there.
Yeah. No, it wasn't ideal. But we got it done. We got it done.
Yeah, I mean, you guys did win a Super Bowl. That's hard to deny. Hard to deny that you guys eventually
pretty good
got it
evidence
done.
That human beings don't need sleep. But it's interesting, guys, because in the sports world, sleep has become one of those like hot conversation topics, right? And I've told you guys this, like, you see what like the big thing is anytime you walk into a facility. I told you a few years back it was pee. It was all about your hydration levels and are you hydrating like a champion? And there was pee charts on the wall that had colored urine. Like, what does your pee look like?
Yeah,
and if it's clear, you're a champion teammate. But if it's yellow, well, you're letting your guys down. It was crazy. I thought it was one of the most absurd things I've ever seen.
I doubt you were letting your guys down the night before, though.
No, well, we had to make weight. We had weigh-in was on Friday, so you had to dehydrate in order to make weight. That was Frank's theory, and it was a pretty darn good one.
I don't know if that's how that works.
No, it did for us.
What do you mean? This goes back to high school wrestling, right? I remember guys who I went to high school with who would be like running around in garbage bags in the wrestling room with the heat cranked up to 85 to try to drop weight before their matches. Is that what we're talking about here?
Yeah, why wouldn't you think it worked?
I thought it was you would want the water weight to lose the water weight. Like water weight was easier to lose, not if you dehydrate. Not that it would help you gain weight, I just didn't know if that would help you lose weight.
No, it gets all the water out of your body. So if you're drinking Jack Daniels,
where's the Doogie Howser
by the gallon?
Music?
Right?
You're
what do you do when you pound a bunch of beers? You got to take a leak, right?
Yeah.
So it's like a diuretic. It gets all the water out of your body, which can account for like 5 or 6 pounds. Mm-hmm.
The thing about the Doogie Howser music is it basically serves as a disclaimer for us. Like, we play the Doogie Howser music to let our listeners know that Chewy's talking doctor stuff and we're not sure we can validate it.
But you're still displacing it with something else. Like, there's still something else in your body displacing the water.
No, there's not.
The beer.
Or the Jack Daniels.
No, because you're drinking. The ratio of Jack Daniels to you taking a leak is huge. Right? So you're taking in what? 6 ounces of Jack Daniels and you're losing probably 20 ounces of fluid. So do the math.
What math? What? Like, Gabe is looking. Like, he actually was like pondering. It was almost as though his brain started doing some sort of calculations. And then he realized this is fake math. This is not real math. What are we doing?
What?
Jack to pee math?
Why am I listening to this? Like, it's. Like, I was intently listening.
Yeah,
like, okay,
I can
here
see
we
your
go.
Brain going, well, you carry the one, and then, like, what? The ratio is 1/5. I don't even know.
Well, and here's the thing. I got a full 8 hours last night. Still listening to this dummy.
800-990-3776. What's the least amount of sleep that you can function on? Not zombie walk through your day, not just make appearances, but can actually function and do your job. Because I'm not sure 4 hours is it for me. But as Gabe said, what would the difference be? What is going to make today any different than any other day that you tune in to listen to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy? Lots of reaction on the ESPN Milwaukee Talk and Text line. We'll get to that in just a moment.
Just to get a little serious, today is Giving Tuesday. Nothing speaks to the spirit of the season like helping those in need. And that's why we are excited here at ESPN Milwaukee to come together in support of Camp One Step. Camp One Step is a nonprofit organization dedicated to improving the quality of life of children who have been diagnosed with cancer. They provide 11 free programs throughout the year, serving children ages 5 to 19, and a few specialty camps that serve parents and siblings as well. This year, the Ellen Marks Cancer Foundation is matching all gifts received up to the first $25,000. That means the impact of your gift is going to be doubled. Please go to camponestep.org or text where I belong, no spaces, where I belong. Text that to 76278. Make a gift that will bring joy, support, and hope to local children diagnosed with cancer with Camp One Step.
Ready? Down.
All Packers, all the time.
I think they'll get on the same page. I think they'll be productive. I think Matt LaFleur has realized the importance of running the football.
Okay, most of the time.
Almonds specifically or all nuts?
Well, these nuts, those nuts, whatever nuts work.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chew, brought to you by Boucher Automotive. With 16 different new car brands and over 35 pre-owned brands to choose from, Boucher Automotive, we are driven by you. And by Offsite Collaboration Center of Brookfield and Nina. Visit theoffsitecc.com to learn more.
Great to have our pal and teammate Jason Wilde joining us here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, Jason. How are you doing today?
I'm great, everybody. How are you?
Now, when I ask you that, how are you doing today? Basically, we're talking about you taking inventory for what, the last 5 minutes or so? It's awfully early to say how you doing today, as though today has, you know, happened.
I got up at 6:30 because I wanted to be bright-eyed and bushy-tailed for your fine program.
Well, what time did you go to bed? Because that's the topic this morning. I went to bed last night at 1:30 after getting off of a flight from L.A. that landed at Mitchell at 12:15. So I'm running on about 4 hours of sleep. And I told the guys, I'm going to be good right now because I got all this caffeine in my system, as you can hear by the pace of my voice. Which, by the way, is only going to get faster as the morning goes on. But in about an hour, Jason, I'm going to crash real hard. Do you want to come in and do the last hour of our show with these guys?
I don't, but do you take a nap?
Appreciate your honesty.
You're do you take a nap then?
I'm not a napper. So I don't know if this is split on gender lines, if this is a male-female thing, but when I nap, I crash hard. And if I don't get like a 3 hour stretch, the nap does no good for me. Because if I wake up like 20 minutes, an hour 20, et cetera, I'm just groggy and cranky, right? So I may as well not have taken the nap.
Yeah, I don't remember the last nap I got, but whether it's 20 minutes or 2 hours, that always has a benefit for me.
I think that's a guy thing. I don't know if that's...
I'm not a napper. I don't like the nap.
But if you do nap, are you good after 20 minutes? Because I know many people that are like, I just need a quick power nap. If I lay down and can get a few Z's, I'll be good. You're worse too?
Yeah. I mean, I got 4 hours of sleep last night too, Jason, but I went to bed at 7:30.
Sounds like the way you sleep at night is just constant power naps.
Yeah.
What?
Oh, God, please don't ask him to do this math again.
A lot of pee breaks, okay. Jason, a lot of staring.
So Chewy said he gets 4 hours of sleep a night, but he needs 8 hours to do it.
Yeah, when you get old, that's what happens. It's around the corner, Jason.
Okay, that sounds delightful. I mean, I don't want to give too much information on my own like bedtime peeing schedule, but like I wake up to go to the bathroom, I go to the bathroom, and then I lay back down, and in the next 2 to 3 minutes, I'm asleep again. Like, I don't know if that's a talent, but...
Well, I can't because I wonder, when am I going to be able to cut the grass next year?
You're such a weird guy.
Is it April, May? I have no idea. With that, Jason, we see all this money being thrown around in college, USC, LSU. Isn't it time for LaFleur to get paid?
Yes, and... Tausch and I were just talking about this. Now, it's possible, because this has happened before, that he already has gotten an extension, and we just don't know about it yet. That happens with coaches from time to time. I know it happened with Mike Sherman one time. It happened with McCarthy one time, where we didn't discover that he had signed an extension for a number of months after. But there's no doubt. I mean, I think he got a 4-year contract when he got hired. And so obviously you don't want him, especially with a record of whatever he is, 35-7 or whatever he is, 35-9. Like, yeah, you certainly don't want him to not be extended. So there's no doubt they need to do that. Maybe he's taking the approach of, look, let's finish the season. And, hey, if I win a Super Bowl like McCarthy did, McCarthy got a much bigger extension after he and Ted won the Super Bowl in 2010. So maybe that's their strategy.
Well, I think it'd be wise to wait because now Cliff Kingsbury's name is coming up in all these college jobs.
And yeah, the strategy is get yourself attached to Notre Dame.
Well, I'm assuming Kingsbury's going to use that to springboard to get more money from the Cardinals. He came in and was hired in the NFL as a head coach the same time as Matt LaFleur. So if Kingsbury gets a bunch of money from the Cardinals, can't LaFleur then go, hey, look at that money that Cliff just got. I've had a better NFL record than he has. I want more than that.
Absolutely. Also, I don't know what Notre Dame's going to do, but he was an assistant at Notre Dame for a year. I don't think he would leave the Packers to coach Notre Dame. But what I do think, because I think this is what Cliff Kingsbury is doing as well, I don't think Cliff Kingsbury has any interest in going to Oklahoma. Do you?
No. I don't. This is all strategy. Right. This is all leverage. Which is why I said Matt LaFleur should get his name attached to Notre Dame. I don't know who his agent is, but that should be the first thing he does this morning when he wakes up.
I'll
stand
to find this. I'll do it right now.
Yeah, but Jason, when is the NFL going to catch up to college salaries? Because who's the highest paid NFL head coach right now? It's nowhere near $15 million here, is it?
No, I don't think it is. My favorite was the part that USC bought Lincoln Riley's two homes in Norman for $500,000 over value in each case.
And how do you determine that? Do you just go to Zillow.com? Is that what you do? You
take the housing market right now. I mean, that could have just been what those houses are going for right now.
Well,
Jason.
But then Mike Golic Jr., who will join the show a little bit later at 8:30, made a joke on Twitter saying, I think the craziest part about this is that he settled for a $6 million house in L.A. What does $6 million buy you in L.A.?
Not much. Wow. Not as much as other places, yeah.
My issue, and I think Matt LaFleur, he's not perfect, but I think he's a decent human being. This idea of creating fake interest to raise your salary demands, I just think I understand that's how the game is played, but especially in Kingsbury's case, like, his agent clearly asked Adam Schefter to put that out there, right? And it's all about creating this illusion of, hey, I might leave, so you get paid more. And I don't think, I don't know LaFleur as well after only 3 years as I say knew McCarthy, but I don't think that's LaFleur's MO. I think LaFleur, I mean, he got here, he built a house when he got here. I mean, I think he intends to be here in the long haul. I would hope that he would take the approach that, you know, I mean, some of us at much lower salary levels have taken with our own careers of, hey, look, this offer has come across. I don't have any interest in it. I want to stay here, but I'm being honest with you, and it would be nice to get a little raise out of the deal, kind of a thing.
Jason, do you know what the surgery would have entailed for Aaron's toe? Would it have been a pin? Would they have cut it off? Yeah. A little Ronnie Lott?
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't know. I just know that Dr. Anderson is literally the best in the country. And so if he felt like that was something that could be done and not have Rodgers miss any time, then that was something that Rodgers was willing to do. He said that everything was on the table except missing games. That was not on the table for him. So if that's the case, you know, if they're not going to do it now, then they're probably not going to do it because I don't know how, you know, can you have surgery on Monday and be ready to play the following Sunday? I mean, I guess you could, but I feel like there's always, even with a great doctor like Dr. Anderson, I think there's always risk, you know, infection, whatever. And my understanding is that they have seen really good healing. Rodgers kind of mentioned this after the game, that he felt like they didn't have to necessarily do the surgery. Now, what's funny about this, someone was telling me yesterday that he is going to go see other doctors to get other opinions during the bye week. And this person theorized that he's only doing it so he can leave town.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because you can't otherwise, but if you have a medical reason to go see some, you know, Johnny podiatrist in L.A., theoretically, he could go do that. And I was like, really? Like, my problem with that is Dr. Anderson is widely regarded as the absolute best in the business. Like, it's whoever's second is a distant second. So do you really need to go all around the country?
No, but Jason, the rule of thumb is if you're hurt, you can't leave.
I think we should take Aaron Rodgers at his word, guys. He has not shown us that he is untrustworthy. We should absolutely believe him. Well, I didn't want to go down this path, but I just want to make it very clear that he is a trustworthy guy. We should take him at his word. If he says he's going to get other opinions, he's going to get other opinions, Jason. Speaking of injuries, who returns first, okay? Is it D-Bock? Is it Jair? Is it Myers? Or is it Z-Smith? And pivot, who's most important to return first?
Oof. Two excellent questions to which I don't know an answer to on either front. I would like to think it's Bakhtiari. I mean, he was trending that way, and then he had to have that scope. So I would like to think it's him. Obviously, he'd give them a big boost. I don't know about Myers. We don't even know what his injury is. It's not an ACL. That's all I know at this point. And LaFleur did not sound overly encouraging about him coming back right after the bye. And they have taken a very, I don't want to say conservative approach, because I don't know what approach they've taken with them, but a somewhat pessimistic tack with both Za'Darius Smith and Jair Alexander. I mean, we've seen Jair Alexander working out inside the Hudson Center when we've been in there for practice. We saw Za'Darius Smith run out of the tunnel on Sunday with the team. So they're getting better. But when Matt LaFleur talks about them, he basically talks about both of them as, yeah, there's still a long way to go. We're hopeful. But they're not even, I mean, I don't get the sense that they're counting on either one of them playing this season.
Jason, is there a chance they lose a coach off this staff to an Oklahoma or a Notre Dame?
No, I don't think so. I think it's more likely that they would lose a coach to a head coaching opening. I think Nathaniel Hackett has positioned himself much like we went through that hiring phase where, hey, do you know Sean McVay? Come on in for an interview. We're probably going to hire you. I think we've reached the point with LaFleur where he is an extension of that. And that will improve the chances of some of these assistants like that. McCarthy obviously had Joe Philbin get the Miami job. But generally speaking, he did not have a bunch of guys have the chance to go be head coaches. I think there's a couple of guys on this staff that have that shot. I think Adam Stenovich has a really good chance at one, potentially, or at least a coordinator job somewhere else. And then, if Nathaniel Hackett were to get a head coaching job, I would think that Stenovich would have the opportunity to go with him or to maybe move up and be the new coordinator.
Gosh, I mean, immediately my brain goes dominoes, right? Because Rodgers likes Hackett, right? He likes him a lot. And so, obviously, I don't think he would not want him to get an opportunity. But here we are at this point in the year listening to guys like Rich Eisen say that Green Bay is the very best place for Rodgers to be because they have a team knocking on the door of a championship, and that means going forward as well. But if you lose a guy like Nathaniel Hackett, I wonder if that then impacts Rodgers' decision to stay as well. I don't know, but to me immediately it was like, ooh, that's not a guy that I think Rodgers would want to lose.
Yeah, I think if Nathaniel Hackett had gotten the Falcons job, I think there might have been a different dynamic this offseason. And maybe there had been some hope of Aaron Rodgers on Aaron Rodgers' side to go with him. If he were to get the Bears job, I don't see that opportunity happening for 12, but I would say that's something that bears watching. That is not a reckless speculation statement that you just made, Jen.
Jason, that's why I bring you on, so that you can tell me that my statements are not reckless, because I'm not getting that level of support from these guys.
It was reckless of Jason to say that, quite
honestly.
Yeah,
I really don't like what Jason just did to us. He dropped the bomb, and now we got to deal with it for the next 90 minutes.
Well, only for the next half hour, because like I said, top of the hour, I am going to crash. Jason, appreciate you. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, everybody, take care. Be good.
Consider Professional Construction, Inc. in Waukesha for all of your construction needs. Whether you are looking at a remodeling project, a home addition, or building a new home, the PCI team is here for you. And here's the deal, guys. When you're looking for companies that you're going to be working with on a regular basis for an extended period of time, don't you want them to not only be exceptional in their field, but also good people that you want around that you know aren't taking you for a ride? They're going to give you the very best advice and guidance on how to navigate that process. process, because that's what you get with Mike and Michelle over at PCI. They have a family-owned company. They believe in building relationships and giving back to the community, which is cool every single day, but also especially on Giving Tuesday, which is what today is. They are also looking for experienced carpenters to lead field crews. If that sounds like something that you would be good at, why don't you call them at their website? Call them at their website. Why don't you check out their website? It's professionalconstructioninc.com/careers. And if you're interested in a remodeling project, a home addition, or building a new home, go to their website, see what they can do, set up a meeting with Mike and Michelle. That website, of course, is professionalconstructioninc.com, professionalconstructioninc.com.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Gabe, are you getting any notes of raspberry?
That one makes me want to vomit. That one makes
what?
I'm more getting like...
Did he just say notes of raspberry?
I'm a sommelier for peeps. I'm a peeplier.
What was that word?
Ashton comes out
with the
peeps menu. Well, here are our options for your dessert peeps.
On 94.5 ESPN.
I don't know if I've ever been around a team that suffered this many injuries. So, it is encouraging that we're sitting at where we are right now at 9-3.
Absolutely. And look, this has like national pundits like Colin Cowherd, like Rich Eisen saying, Packers are the team to beat, guys. They're saying like if they can withstand this firestorm, if they can withstand all these injuries and still be as good as they are record-wise, and I would say production-wise, right? Yes, the wins and losses matter, but it's not like they're just like falling into wins lately. I would have said that earlier in the year, right? And I've said that on this program, that some of them not very convincing, not very dominant, but these last few have been like, whew, okay. I actually am going to tell you guys something.
It's not like Tired Jen.
I like this team.
I really like Tired Jen.
I like this team with the exception of you-know-who at the you-know-what position. But
Matt
LaFleur,
head coach.
No, really like
Matt. I think Jen should get 4 hours of sleep more often.
So are you going Ashton on us?
What do you mean Ashton? Absolutely.
You're joining
I'm just
the
saying
crew?
I like the team. I like how, like what they're doing.
Welcome to the bandwagon, Jen. Happy to have you.
Go Pack Go, eh?
Go Pack Go. We were talking about injuries, though, Chu.
Yeah.
David Bakhtiari, Jair Alexander, Josh Myers, and Zaire. Za'Darius Smith, who's coming back first? I would have thought David Bakhtiari.
Who do I want back or who's coming
back?
Well,
you tell. You got your crystal ball, Miss Cleo, and you can tell me who actually is coming back. I'll take it.
Because you talked about Rich Eisen and Aaron Rodgers. Why wouldn't he come back? Here's what you do. You trade Bakhtiari, right?
No, I'm not going to write that.
You give the $23 million to Aaron and say, spend it as you want. What? You want Kuhn back? You want Jordy Nell? Have at it. Because this team is nowhere near as good as they are without Rod.
Which of us is sleep deprived now?
Well, I mean, we understand why he's sleep deprived.
Captain Peepee.
You don't like my idea?
Well, I mean, that's just...
I mean, the whole thing is to get Aaron back next year, right?
Yeah.
You give him $23 million, say, hey.
You want to trade his best friend who gave him a cart that they both drive around in every day? That's your idea to keep Aaron Rodgers?
That's a really good point.
No, I think his idea is to ship him off. I think he's just as sick of him as I am. And then he's going, you know what? You really want to piss off Aaron Rodgers? Trade David Bakhtiari. That'd be like, and you know what?
But
while you're at it,
money.
Throw in Randall Cobb too. Just throw in Randall Cobb.
Bring him back. Right?
Mm-mm.
Are you with me? They really don't need them. They've been fine without them.
I'm there with you, but now they're like, he's there. He's your guy, and he's going to be under contract for the next. You're going to have him for the next couple of years.
Who, if you want to move on, Aaron or Bakhtiari?
Bakhtiari.
Okay, but Bakhtiari really doesn't matter without Aaron. Does
Is your
he?
Point that they have been so successful
yes.
on the offensive line yeah. without Bakhtiari?
Yes.
Why did you pay him all of that money?
Like, are we really going to notice when he's back?
So let me ask you a question, because when I was listening to the Rich Eisen cut yesterday, and Ashton, we should pull that up because I keep referencing it, and we should let people hear what I'm talking about. He was basically saying, like, why would Aaron Rodgers leave after this season? But before we get to it, my question to you is this: did Brian Gutekunst make a mistake by giving David Bakhtiari all that money? Or did he prove his worth by having all of these guys behind him on the offensive line who, if there was a season-ending injury or multiple in the case of the Green Bay Packers, they could sustain it. They could withstand it.
That was one of my favorite parts of yesterday's show, which, again, you can go back and listen to Wisconsin On Demand. We literally started the show with ones and twos. Chewy gave Goody a one and then bashed him right away. Like,
I don't remember this.
That's why you did it within the first 3 minutes.
You went, I mean, we're not talking about Goody enough. What he's done with this offensive line, and he should have never signed David Bakhtiari.
Oh, God, no, no. So which is it, Chew? Do you have, are you leaning one way or another?
What are we talking about?
Uh-huh. We'll fill him in while you guys listen to Rich Eisen, Ashton.
But when it push comes to shove, why would he leave this place where he's given the I love you sign to the fans who are chanting his name as he's running off beating the Rams on a perfect night in that football cathedral, Thanksgiving Sunday, weekend Sunday in Lambeau Field? Why would he leave there? It's the best place for him to win. They've set him up. And also, he's a terrific general manager himself, Randall Cobb, who had 2 touchdowns against the Cardinals, 4 for 95 and 1 before he got hurt in yesterday's game. So there's all of that. And they're going to get healthier, the Packers, as they hit their bye week, 9-3. And you look at that division is wrapped. They're basically playing for the one seed now, as Minnesota lost yesterday, and Dalvin Cook appears to be out for some time to come. And, they just lost that game in Minnesota. I mean, they're 3.5 in front of the Vikings. I mean, this thing's over. They're already looking at the steering wheel, and the one team that's in front of them, they've already beaten in the NFC.
Yeah, no question they're in the driver's seat in the NFC. There's no question about that. But I guess my question to you is this, Chewy. Do we need to be giving Brian Gutekunst more credit for the position this team is in?
Yes, as long as we hold it against him that he signed David Bakhtiari to an extension.
Well, for this year, because, Rich, there's a little thing called the cap next year, and they have the second worst cap position of any team in the NFL. And we saw what happened with the Saints. All right, the Saints started off kind of hot. Now they're fizzling because they have no depth, because they were in cap hell, right? Next year, the Packers are going to be in cap hell, and this team is going to be totally different.
I think that you can fix a lot of the cap situation if you get Rodgers to stay. Because what you're going to be able to do is bring that number down.
But then it pushes it farther and farther, which is typically not the Packers' MO.
Well, yeah, but if you sign Rodgers to an extension, that $40 million goes away. The new TV money is going to be kicking in 22, so the salary cap is going to skyrocket. And if you cut Za'Darius Smith at the end of the season, which, I mean, again, they've found some outside linebackers, and they've been able to get pressure without their best pass rusher heading into this season.
But it's not
like
just Za'Darius,
you get so close to that cap line, you don't have to make many moves after that.
Well, then you're looking at paying a receiver $23, $25 million a year, which is cap's a real thing, you know?
You can work around it if you're a good GM. I mean, again, look at the Rams. The Rams have all these guys. I mean, how do they have all these guys that are making all this money and they're still cap compliant?
I just don't understand how anybody at this point, guys, with a 9-3 record, sustaining all of the injuries that they've sustained, could possibly, as we made people do during the offseason, pick a side between Aaron Rodgers and the brass, Brian Gutekunst, Mark Murphy, et cetera, could sit there and go, yeah, they suck. They haven't done a good job. Because the reason that they're still winning with all of these injuries that we just mentioned to key positions, these aren't just special teamers. These aren't just a guy. These are actually some of the best players in the league when you talk about a Jaire Alexander. The fact that they've been able to still win without those guys goes to the depth of this team, and that is exclusively the scouting department and Brian Gutekunst. Mm-hmm. The fact that people know Rasul Douglas's name across the league, it's a huge feather in Brian Gutekunst's cap.
But, and I'll take the line from Moneyball, you don't win the last game of the year, no one gives a crap. Am I right? And look what happened last year. We thought, hey, they lose the NFC Championship game. All right, we got next year. We made it this far. That's great. And then the flipping world blew up. Right?
Yeah.
He comes back if they win at all. If they don't win at all, I don't think he comes back.
If they make it to a Super Bowl, I have a hard time believing he's going to walk away. To get that close, you know what I'm saying? Like, just getting to that Super Bowl, getting that close, and if they can formulate a plan to keep most of this core together again next year, which I think they can, with Rodgers around, I think he comes back.
But, you know, we had this conversation with Jason a little bit, and we're going to talk about it as the show goes on, about the college football coaches and leverage, right? And how you kind of flirt with a program, even if you might not be interested in doing that. I expect to see that. I expect, and I don't think it'll be actively by Aaron Rodgers, but I think you'll start to see the whole Aaron Rodgers to the Steelers. He loves Mike Tomlin, thinks, you know, has all the respect in the world for him. I think you'll hear the Broncos again, kind of mixing it up a little bit. Like, you're going to hear teams this offseason who are going to make a run at Aaron Rodgers. So just prepare yourself, Packers fans. Prepare yourselves for, again, the drama, unless that decision is made at the end of the season, as soon as they kneel down, whether it's they win or they lose, unless we know right away, you're going to see this little, like, oh, you interested in leaving? Hey, you want to grab some drinks?
I mean, we're in a peak right now. This is a peak, right? Look where we were 2 weeks ago with the whole vax thing, you know, and he was all pissed off and this. Yeah, life is great. We're in a peak. You know what? There's going to be a valley coming. Let's just hope at the end of the day it's a peak.
Who's going to return first? We're going to put it on the poll on ESPN Milwaukee. Who returns first? D-Bock, Jair, Josh Myers, and or Zadarius? And maybe who is most important to return? Because Chewy is certainly not in the David Bakhtiari camp. I would think that most people think Jair. You know, you want to be able to kind of lock up that secondary. He's obviously one of the best in the league, or has been prior to the injury. We'll see if he still is able to do that. But I guess if you're not going with David Bakhtiari, you might make the same argument for Josh Myers, because that offensive line has been doing a hell of a job not having its intended starters out there. And Zadarius Smith, I forgot he was on the team. I just forgot he was on the team. So we're going to put that on the ESPN Milwaukee poll. Who returns first? Because as you heard Rich Eisen say just a few moments ago, this team is locked. They are in the driver's seat in the NFC, and they're only getting healthier. 800-990-3776.
Right in front of you, yeah.
I've been off. First of all, it's not in front of me. First of all, there it is. But I've been off for like 8 days, like 4 days at least.
Actually, should I have to take the blame for that?
No.
Okay, it's been almost 2 years. I feel like I shouldn't have to.
4 hours of sleep. Help me out where you can, okay? Just throw me a life jacket here.
It's the number you say 7 times every day.
Yeah, but I'm in autopilot.
Exactly. This should be something that's already in the autopilot.
I had 4 hours of sleep. The first thing that goes out the window when you're losing sleep is the autopilot.
1-800-786-4932.
See, exactly. Chewy knows it.
Did I nail it?
Nailed it!
Buy one window, get one free with our friends over at Window Select. That's right. Buy one window, get one free. No payments for an entire year. Plus, you get free home estimates. Get your price today. It's easy. 262-703-3500 or visit windowselect.com. The great part about Window Select is they are a local Wisconsin-based company, and they care about the community. They're a proud partner of the Green Bay Packers, and they want you to enjoy great things in the community, like the Trans-Siberian Orchestra. They're coming to Fiserv Forum. So if you book a free home estimate, again, free home estimate. Don't have to buy anything. Just have Window Select out to your house to give you that estimate. You get 2 tickets to go see the Trans-Siberian Orchestra this holiday season at Fiserv Forum. Can't get any better than that. Buy one window, get one free. No payments for an entire year. Free home estimate. Get your price today. Oh, by the way, double lifetime warranty on those windows as well. 262-703-3500 or just go to Window Select's website. It's easy. WindowSelect.com.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Can you imagine people at home who are trying to figure out this power rankings list?
There is no rhyme or reason.
So
just like this show
on 94.5 ESPN.
Firestorm yesterday. Poor USC. USC thought it was going to like have the stranglehold on the college football world for at least 24 hours, at least, right? They announced Lincoln Riley, who's leaving Oklahoma, which, by the way, one of the best things from the weekend was Lincoln Riley being asked if he was going to be the next head coach at LSU. And him defiantly saying, I can assure you I will not be the next head coach at LSU.
It's the truth.
I know, but it's funny because he didn't say anything about USC. So Lincoln Riley is introduced. He has the press conference. And like within the next hour or so, all of a sudden, it's like Brian Kelly to LSU. I don't think Brian Kelly made a mistake leaving to go to LSU. I don't think so. And this is why I think that he's okay, because the business model allows for what he did. This is one of those don't hate the player, hate the game. Hate that college football allows guys, when their team is on the cusp of maybe being a playoff team, right? Because they're sixth right now in the rankings. New rankings will come out tonight on ESPN. We'll talk about those tomorrow. But you're in the mix. You're in the hunt. You know, a few losses here or there between Michigan and Cincinnati and like Baylor. Like, Baylor's not above them, but like, you're in. You're in the top four. And he was like, bye-bye, I'm out.
You don't see that as sleazy? Absolutely.
Why? This
sleaze?
Is when the offer came. There's rules that say that.
What
like
do you
in
mean?
The NFL.
What do you mean this isn't sleazy? This is 100%
could you
sleazy.
Imagine?
But again, I understand why you might like take umbrage with it, but hate the game. Hate that college football doesn't have any provisions in place, doesn't have any rules or guardrails in place that allows people to do this.
Then I don't want a single one of these college coaches insist, and then walk out of press conferences when it doesn't happen, that I call them coach. No, ain't happening, man. This is like a job, just like anything else, just like any other regular job. Because if you can leave when this is happening, even though you're a leader of men, and this is what I do, and I teach my morals and values to these men, and I'm doing more than just coaching them football. We're teaching them life lessons.
Which I hear every single week, Gabe. And then, to your point, I hear that every single week when I talk to coaches about what motivates them. Why do you do it? Oh, I love the kids. I love building men and all of the future stuff.
And then all you can do is send a text message to your kids, being like...
Group chat.
Hey, 7 a.m. meeting tomorrow. Sorry you had to find out on Twitter that I'm leaving you. So you stand in front of your kids if you're Lincoln Riley for 2 minutes and then bail after you tell them, hey, I'm taking a job where they're giving me a bunch of money. Look, and I'm not disparaging you going after that money for your family. That's fine. But I just don't want you to preach that you're holier than thou.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, you're just like everybody else, man. You are just like everybody else. So I'm not going to call you coach.
And you know
I'm going to call you Lincoln.
What does that have to do with anything, calling him coach?
Well, because they think that they have, you know, this is a title that's earned and it deserves respect because they're doing all the things that we just talked about, being these leader of men and building these character of men and taking these boys. No, man. You know who I'm pulling for now?
And I'm a BC guy. I'm pulling for Notre Dame. I hope they get into the playoffs, and I hope they win the damn thing just to stick it up his ass.
Well, he's still get a ring,
I think. They're phonies. They're frauds. That's why I all said the most important characteristic they need to have is be a liar.
Okay, but here's the thing I will say about that. Again, I think the culture creates that. I think the culture forces you to carry yourself
but
that way.
But they're supposed to rise above the culture
again,
as these leaders of men. They're the leaders,
Jen.
They should rise above it.
In a utopian situation, in an ideal world, yes. But that's not how this is. And you know what's frustrating is watching everybody else go out there and get theirs. Get the money, right? Be able to get the $10 million, $15 million, or whatever the crazy number is that's in college football right now. And you go,
but there's
God, these morals! Oh, this virtue! Like, that's where I struggle with it. Because these guys, if you've been in it as long as Brian Kelly has, you deserve the opportunity to make top dollar. You just do! And if somebody's willing to pay it to you, yes, I agree. It feels a little bit of a juxtaposition, right? Because you're not doing the quote-unquote right thing. But man, go get yours!
But you leave everyone hanging out there? I mean, the guy's a fraud.
Again, you're
bailing
the culture that they've created. The NFL doesn't let you do that, right? We've talked about Eric Bieniemy for years and years and years, guys, because his team, the Chiefs, are always in the playoff hunt. And the coaching carousel happens before the playoffs end. So for some reason, he's always left out in the cold. He can't interview for these jobs because he still has a job. At least the NFL has those parameters in place. What do you do in college football? Make some rules. Set some guidelines. Force guys to finish their commitment. Because otherwise, why would they?
Because, again, that's what they preach that they are. Brian Kelly's a hypocrite.
Are you leaving?
Do you want me to leave?
No, I mean, are you leaving the show? Shut up, Ash.
I didn't say anything. Leave me out of this.
Why are you turning on Ash? Because he can't turn on me. Yeah. We got such a great dynamic here, don't we? It's just really healthy and not at all dysfunctional. More Jen Gibb and Chewy after this.